It's a wonderful pleasure to be with you again. And I was just thinking about this morning, and I was thinking about every opportunity that we get, especially from the English side, to be able to share something collectively. I know that we don't really share anything new.
مبسوط ان اكون معاكم و مهم ان احنا لما بنتكلم من كلمه الله بنتكلم بتتابع.
We don't actually share or teach you anything new.
ما فيش حاجه جديده هقولها.
But what we do and that is that we remind you of the things that you have taught us.
لكن بنذكركم بالحاجات اللي انتوا علمتوهالنا قبل كده.
So in as far as you follow the Lord,
على قد ما احنا بنتبع الرب,
we follow your example in following the Lord.
بنشوف فيكم ازاي انتوا بتتبعوا الرب كمان.
As I was thinking about today, I'd like to share something with you which is quite close to my heart.
في حاجة قريبة جدا من قلبي احب اشارككم بيها.
If we could turn our Bibles to Genesis in chapter 8.
لو رحنا لتكوين واصحاح 8.
What I would like to talk about is the place or the position of the altar of God in the life of the believer.
عايز اشوف مكان المذبح في حياة المؤمنين.
The place of the altar of God in the life of the believer.
مكان المذبح في حياة المؤمنين.
I'm just going to read from chapter 8, verse 20, and the first portion of verse 21.
انا اقرا من عدد 20.
Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma.
وبنى نوح مذبحا للرب وأخذ من كل البهائم الطاهرة ومن كل الطيور الطاهرة وأصعد محرقات على المذبح فتنسم الرب رائحة الرضا.
The very first time the word altar is found in scripture is found in relation to Noah.
أول مكان يذكر في المذبح مع نوح.
Now, I'm not saying that this is the first time in which an altar was used, but it's the first time we find the word in scripture.
أول مرة يذكر فيها الكلمة بالتفصيل, لكن مش معنى كده انه لم يذكر المذبح من قبل كده.
If we come back to Genesis in chapter 4,
لو رحنا على تكوين 4,
there when we read about the first family,
هنقرا عن اول عائله,
Adam, Eve, Cain, Abel,
Adam وحواء وقايين وهابيل.
From verse 3, chapter 4, and in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat.
هنقرا انه قدم هابيل ايضا من ابقار غنمه ومن ثمانها, فنظر الرب الى هابيل وقربانه, ولكن الى قايين وقربانه لم ينظر.
Many students of the Bible believe and they ask the question, what is it that Cain and Abel offered on? So they had an offering and they offered it on an actual altar. There must have been an altar.
طبعا كثير اللي بيدرسوا في كلمة الله بيقولوا يعني قايين وهابيل قدموا ايه اللي قدموه طبعا على مذبح.
The Bible doesn't tell us. It's silent about the use of an altar. But it's very likely that Adam had built an altar as he was advised by the Lord.
الكتاب ما بيقولناش ان في مذبح, لكن اكيد ان ادم بنى مذبح للرب.
But what we do know is the first time the word altar is used is in relation to Noah. So if we go back to Genesis in chapter 8,
لكن اول مره يذكر صراحه المذبح هو مع قصه نوح في اصحاح 8.
The very first time we find something in scripture in relation to a subject is very important.
المكان اللي بنلاقي فيه اول مره يذكر موضوع في الكتاب بيبقى مهم جدا لينا.
When was it that Noah built this altar?
امتى بنى نوح المذبح؟
Well, we're told in chapter 8, same chapter, verse 15 and 16. Then God spoke to Noah, saying, Go out of the ark, you and your wife, and your sons wives with you.
هنلاقي في عدد 15 و16 وكلم الله نوح قائلا اخرج من الفلك انت وامرأتك وبنوك ونساء بنيك معك.
This was not before the flood, it was after the flood.
ما كانش قبل الطوفان لكن بعد الطوفان.
What was the direction that God gives to Noah?
ايه اللي قاله طلب الرب من نوح؟
He says at the end of verse 17, and be fruitful and multiply on the earth.
قال له وكونوا ولتتوالوا في الارض في الارض وتثمر وتكثر على الارض.
The flood had now ended.
انتهى الطوفان.
It had been about a year after the 40 days of rain and 40 days of night. About 1 year after.
تقريبا سنة بعد 40 يوم من الطوفان المستمر.
Noah did not want to leave the ark until God gave him command to leave the ark.
نوح ما سابش الفلك لغاية لما الرب اداله قال له صراحة اطلع.
He waited for the voice of God to say it was safe now for you to leave the ark.
استنى لغاية لما الرب قال له دلوقتي أمان تقدر تطلع وتسيب الفلك.
God says to him, I want you to be fruitful and multiply.
قال له الرب أنا عايزك تثمر.
So the very first thing you would think, the practical thing, when you, if you were in Noah's shoes, if you were in his place, when you left the ark, you would want to find a source of water.
لو أنت مكان نوح أول حاجة تطلع من الفلك تدور على مكان في مية.
As soon as you found that fresh source of water, you would then not too far away a parcel of land so you could build a home.
وجنب المية تعمل تبني لك بيت.
You would think about your practical needs, your material needs.
بتفكر دائما في الحاجات العملية احتياجاتنا العملية العادية.
But not Noah.
لكن نوح ما فكرش كده ما عملش كده.
The very first thing that Noah did was what? As soon as he left the ark.
أول حاجة عملها نوح أول ما طلع من الفلك.
He built an altar to the Lord. What does this teach you and me?
ده يعلمنا ايه انا وانت.
That the most important thing in life,
اهم شيء في الحياة,
put God first.
خلي الله اولا.
And I want you to notice when this happened, not before the flood but after the flood.
وخلي بالكم انت الموضوع ده حصل مش قبل الطوفان لكن بعد الطوفان.
The flood is a picture of redemption.
الطوفان عبارة عن صورة للفداء.
Those that were in the ark had trusted in the message of God and the ark being a type of the Lord Jesus.
كانوا موجودين جوا الفلك ناس وثقوا في الرب والفلك نفسه بيشبهنا كلنا عارفين انه بيشبه الرب يسوع.
The flood waters came down and they beat hard upon the ark.
المية نزلت وكانت بتضرب على الفلك.
Those that didn't believe in the message of God drowned, they were killed.
واللي ما آمنش وما سمعش رسالة بتاعة الفلك ماتوا.
Those that were saved were those who were in Christ, those who were in the ark.
اللي كانوا في المسيح اللي كانوا في الفلك هم اللي انقذوا من الطوفان.
When is it that we start a communion, a relationship with God?
لما بنوجد في علاقة مع الرب.
It's not before our redemption, but after our redemption.
ما بتبتديش قبل الفداء بتاعنا لكن بعد فداءنا.
This is why the first time the word altar is mentioned in Scripture is not before the flood, but after the flood.
عشان كده المذبح لم يذكر قبل الطوفان لكن بعد الطوفان.
This is to keep in the strict teaching of Scripture with regards to our redemption.
ده بيتعلق دائما بفداءنا كمؤمنين.
Who was it that built the altar?
مين اللي بنى المذبح?
Was it God?
هل الله اللي بناه?
Was it the wife of Noah?
ولا مرات نوح?
Was it the sons of Noah?
ولا أولاد نوح?
No, it was Noah himself.
لا, لكن نوح هو اللي بناه بنفسه.
What is it that we're talking about here? Not a physical altar.
إيه اللي بتكلم عنه الموضوع دول? مش المذبح.
It's a spiritual altar that we apply to our lives.
لكن على الموضوع الروحي اللي ممكن نطبقه على حياتنا.
The spiritual altar is a place in which you have that you meet with God.
المكان الروحي المكان اللي احنا بنتقابل فيه مع الرب.
It's a place at home.
ممكن يكون في البيت.
in which you open this book, you crack open this old book and you see what it is that God wants to say to you.
ونفتح فيه الكتاب ونشوف الرب عايز يقول لنا ايه.
You thank God, you worship God.
نشكر الرب ونعبد الرب.
Who was it here that built the altar?
مين اللي بنى المذبح هنا؟
It was the head of the home.
رأس البيت.
Noah built the altar.
نوح هو اللي بنى المذبح.
As soon as the flood was over, as soon as he came out of the ark, the very first thing he did was he put God first.
أول ما انتهى الطوفان، أول ما طلع من الـ الفلك، بنى قال لازم الرب يكون في الأول.
What is it that Noah can teach us here with regards to the altar, the place of the altar in the believer's life?
إيه اللي ممكن نتعلمه من نوح أو نوح عايز يعلمنا إيه عن مكان المذبح في حياتنا؟
Put God first.
خلي الله أولاً.
But not only that, I want you to notice here what it was that he offered on the altar.
لكن مش بس كده، لكن عايزين نشوف هو قدم إيه على المذبح.
We read here at the end of verse 20 that he offered burnt offerings on the altar.
لما بنقرا في آخر عدد 20 أصعد محرقات على المذبح.
And we know which came later, the Levitical offerings, the very first offering that was offered was the burnt offering.
ولما نروح لسفر النوويين نلاقي أول ذبيحة أول تقديمة تذكر هي المحرقة.
This did not speak of the offerer but of God.
مش بتتكلم عن اللي بيقدم لكن بتتكلم عن الله.
In your spiritual altar that you have at home, when you're communing with God, this is not an opportunity for you to bring back regrets and past sins.
لما بنكون في البيت لما بنقدم تقديمات للرب ما بنذكرش خطايانا اللي احنا كنا فيها.
As the head of the home, when you set up that altar,
لما رأس البيت لما بيحط المذبح
just like Noah
زي نوح
this is not an opportunity to gossip
مش مكان عشان نتكلم وندردش مع بعض
this is not an opportunity to bring back past sins
ولا نفكر في خطايانا اللي عملناها
this is an opportunity to commune and to give thanks to God
لكن فرصة للشركة وشكر الرب
so what is it that Noah can teach us here
ايه اللي بيعلمونا نوح هنا هو
Put God first in your life.
خلي الله أول شيء في حياتك.
Don't let the cares of this world, your practical needs, those things, your material needs get in the way.
ما تخليش احتياجاتنا والأمور الطبيعية اللي احنا بنحتاجها بتبقى في الطريق.
The Lord Jesus could say, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness."
الرب علمنا اطلبوا أولا ملكوت الرب الله وبره.
And all these things shall be added unto you.
وكل هذه الأشياء تزاد لكم.
The second person that we hear about an altar in his life, if we can come to now Genesis chapter 12.
لما نروح لتكوين 12 بنشوف ثاني شخص يذكر فيه المذبح.
Who had an altar in his life, and that was Abraham.
اللي كان في مذبح مرتبط بحياته وهو إبراهيم.
Now Abraham had four altars in his life.
إبراهيم في أربع مذابح في حياته.
The first altar was at Shechem. You'll find it in verse 6.
في أول مذبح في شكيم في عدد 6.
The second altar was between two towns or two cities. You'll find it in verse 7 between Bethel and Ai.
في عدد 7 بنشوف المذبح الثاني ما بين
8 verse 8.
في عدد 8 ما بين إيل ما بين إيل وعاي.
And the third altar in which he built, you'll find it in Mamre, and that was at the end of chapter 13 in verse 18.
وفي عدد 13 عند بلطات مورا في تكوين 13 عدد 18
And the fourth altar that he built we're all very familiar with is found in Genesis chapter 22 on Mount Moriah
وطبعا المذبح المشهور اللي نلاقيه على جبل المورايا في أصحاح 22
So Abraham had four altars in his life
في حياة إبراهيم بنشوف أربع مذابح.
Each altar speaks of a very deep spiritual experience that Abraham had.
كل مذبح بيتكلم عن تجربة أو خبرة خاصة لإبراهيم.
Now Abraham is a picture of faith in the scriptures.
إبراهيم طبعا صورة للإيمان في الكتاب.
We read in Genesis 15 verse 6.
وبنقرأ في تكوين 15 عدد 6.
That Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness.
آمن إبراهيم بالله فحسب له برا.
But how was his faith made manifest? How was it demonstrated?
كيف أظهر إبراهيم إيمانه؟
In two symbols.
في حاجتين.
First and always first was the altar.
في أول حاجة إنه مذبح في حياته.
The second symbol that demonstrated his faith was the tent.
والحاجة الثانية الخيمة.
We'll start off with the tent.
خلينا نبدأ بالخيمة.
What does the tent speak of in the life of Abraham?
إيه الخيمة بتكلم في حياة إبراهيم؟
God called him from Ur of the Chaldees to come out of there, to leave his country, to leave his hometown.
الله طلبه قال له اطلع وسيب بيتك.
To come to a land in which he would be a foreigner in.
يجي الأرض هيبقى فيها غريب.
He would not possess anything in that land.
ما عندوش أي حاجة في الأرض دي.
God would say to him, come over here.
الله قال له تعالى هنا.
He would set up his tent. He would knock down in the tent pegs.
حط الخيمة وحط الأوتاد بتاعتها.
He didn't own anything in that land.
ما كانش لي أي حاجة في الأرض دي.
You see, the tent speaks of our separation.
الخيمة بتتكلم عن انفصالنا.
The Apostle Paul could say this: "Be ye separate."
رسول بولس بيقول كونوا منفصلين، انفصلوا عن الناس.
Come out from among them.
اخرجوا من بينها.
Touch not the unclean thing.
ولا تمسوا نجسا.
And I will receive you.
وأنا أقبلكم.
You see, the Christian should not have fellowship with the world.
احنا مش مفروض يبقى لنا اي شركه مع العالم.
We are tent dwellers.
لازم نعيش في خيمه.
Friendship with the world is enmity with God.
حبه العالم عداوه لله.
Love not the world nor the things that are in the world.
لا تحب العالم ولا الاشياء التي في العالم.
If anyone loves the world then the love of the Father is not in him.
اللي بيحب لان من يحب العالم ليس فيه محبه الآب.
But the tent also speaks of our pilgrimage.
لكن كمان الخيمة بتتكلم عن رحلة البرية.
Abraham was not homeless.
إبراهيم ما كانش دي home.
In Hebrews chapter 11 we read this.
في عبرانيين 11 نقرأ.
He looked for a city.
هو كان باصص على مدينة.
Which has foundations.
كان يرى المدينة التي لها الأساسات.
Whose builder and maker.
التي صانعها وبارئها.
Was not a man, not a king.
مش ملك ولا إنسان.
But God himself.
لكن الله نفسه.
He did not have the promises of scripture that you and I have.
ما كانش عنده كل الوعود اللي احنا بنعرفها انا وانت.
To be absent from the body is to be present with God.
تبقى ليس في الجسد لكن sorry. نتغرب عن الجسد ونستوطن عند الرب.
The promise in John 14 that the Lord Jesus said to the disciples that I will come back and receive you to myself so that where I am you may be also.
في يوحنا 14 قال لهم وحيث أكون أنا تكونون أنتم معي.
Abraham did not have any of these promises.
إبراهيم ما كانش عنده ولا وعد من هذه.
But he had foresight.
لكن كان عنده رؤية.
He had vision.
كان شايف عنده رؤية واضحة.
It was his faith that gave him this vision.
إيمانه أعطاه هذه الرؤية.
He did not look to the earthly city.
ما بصش على المدينة الأرضية.
He looked to the heavenly celestial city above.
لكن كان بيبص على المدينة السماوية.
Why? Because he was a pilgrim.
لأنه كان غريب.
What is a pilgrim?
إيه معنى إنه غريب؟
A pilgrim is not a homeless person.
الغريب يعني مش معناها واحد متشرد.
A pilgrim is someone who has a destination in sight.
لكن واحد عنده رؤية للنهاية.
He is a heavenly citizen.
هو إنسان سماوي.
And that's what the tent speaks about in the life of Abraham.
ده الخيمة اللي بتتكلم ده اللي بتكلم عنه الخيمة في حياة إبراهيم.
But the second symbol which manifested his faith was the altar, and the altar was always first in the life of Abraham.
والحاجة الثانية اللي بتميز حياة إبراهيم اللي هو المذبح وده كان أهم شيء في حياته.
This is what we read in verse 8, and he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar and called on the name of the Lord.
بنعرف على الثمانية في أصحاح 12 ثم نقل من هناك إلى الجبل شرقي بيت إيل ونصب خيمته وله بيت إيل من المغرب وحايم من المشرق فبنى هناك مذبحا للرب ودعا باسم الرب.
I just want to talk about this altar. Remember Abraham had four altars, but I just want to emphasize this one.
هو إبراهيم طبعا ليه أربع مذابح لكن عاد أتكلم عن المذبح دون.
God would test Abraham. A testing would come into his life.
الله امتحن إبراهيم.
A testing would come into his life. What would he do?
لما تيجي جت تجربة لحياته يعمل إيه؟
We read in verse 10. Now there was a famine in the land.
بنعرف عدد عشرة إن حدث جوع في الأرض.
Is there a consequence when you leave the altar of God?
في ممكن نتائج لما بنترك المذبح.
Does it really matter whether I have a spiritual altar at home or not?
مش مهم إذا كان في عندي مذبح عائلي أو ما عنديش.
Is it really an issue, or is it just something that's extra for spiritual Christians?
ولا دي حاجة إضافية حياتي كإنسان مسيحي.
We read here the consequence of what happens when you leave the altar of God.
هنا بنشوف نتيجة إنه لما ترك المذبح.
Noah could teach us this. Put God first.
في نوح بنتعلم إن الله أولاً.
Abraham teaches us this, the consequence of what happens when you leave the altar of God.
إبراهيم بيعلمنا إزاي النتائج لما بنترك المذبح بتاع الرب.
Now there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt.
حصل طبعا جوع في الأرض وانحدر إبراهيم إلى مصر.
Abraham not only went down physically but spiritually.
مش نزل بس بالجسم إلى مصر لكن روحيا نزل إلى مصر.
We never read in Egypt that he pitched a tent or built an altar.
مش ممكن نلاقي في مصر إن هو بنى مذبح أو عمل خيمة.
You know the story. He told half a truth and half a lie with regards to his wife.
عارفين كلنا القصة إنه قال نص حقيقة لفرعون.
He lost his testimony.
فقد شهدته.
His situation was dire, terrible.
وطبعا الوضع بتاعه كان فظيع.
If God did not intervene in that situation, he would have been destroyed. We would not have heard any further about Abraham.
لولا تدخل الرب ما كناش هنسمع عن إبراهيم مرة تانية.
In Psalm 37, we read this.
في مزمور 37.
The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way.
خطوات يقول الرب يخوض خطوات الإنسان أو من قبل الرب.
Though he fall,
حتى لو سقط,
he will not utterly be cast down because the Lord upholds him in His hand.
لأن الرب يحمله.
Even good men fall. Sometimes good people fall.
أحيانا حتى الأشخاص اللي هم كويسين يقعوا انهار العدد من قبل الرب تتثبت خطوات الإنسان وفي طريقه يسار.
God pulled him out of that situation.
الله أنقذه من الوضع اللي هو وضع نفسه فيه.
Where did he bring him back to?
ورجعه فين.
We read in verse 3, the end of verse 3, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning. Between Bethel and Ai.
رجعوا إلى نفس المكان اللي هو في البداءة بين بيت إيل وعاي.
Chapter
13. عدد أصحاح 13.
Verse 4 says to the place of the altar which he had made there at first.
إلى المكان المذبح الذي عمله هناك أولا.
God had brought him back full circle.
خلاه الرب يلف في الدائرة كلها.
To the place of the altar.
عشان يرجع لمكان المذبح.
He was saying to Abraham, remember.
قال إبراهيم افتكر تذكر هذا.
Never leave the altar out of your life.
ما تسيبش المذبح أبدا في
Christian,
حياتك.
Christian, never leave a spiritual altar out of your life.
المسيحي مش مفروض يسيب المذبح الروحي في حياتك.
There is a consequence if you leave the altar, neglect the altar of God in your life.
إذا أهملنا وتركنا مذبح الله في نتائج مش حلوة.
Children will no longer obey parents.
الأولاد ما بيسمعوش كلام والديهم.
Husbands and wives will fight.
هناك شجار بين الزوج والزوجة.
Problems from the outside will come into the family.
المشاكل من برا تدخل العيلة.
Without a spiritual altar in your life, you will not know how to deal with the issue.
من غير مذبح روحي مش هنعرف ازاي نتعامل مع المشاكل.
If we can learn anything from Abraham,
لو نتعلم حاجة من حياة إبراهيم,
who is the picture of faith in the scriptures,
هو صورة الإيمان في الكتاب.
If he left the altar and went down,
لما ترك المذبح ونزل لانحدر,
what will happen to you and me if we leave the spiritual altar?
هيحصل لإيه أنا وأنت لو تركنا المذبح العائلي?
This altar was between two places, Bethel.
هذا المذبح ما بين بيت عيل,
which means house of God,
اللي هو بيت الله,
and another town called Ai, which means house of ruins.
وعاي اللي هو بيت الدمار.
What is the altar in your life?
فين المذبح في حياتك?
The altar in your life should have two testimonies.
المذبح في حياتك لازم يكون له شهادتين.
That you are for God.
أنك لله.
That your desire and your direction is for the house of God.
أنك لك رغبة في علاقة مع الله وبيت الله.
Bethel.
وده بيت إيه.
But Ai, you are opposed, you are against the house of ruins.
لكن في عاي أنت ضد بيت الله.
Abraham was not confused when he built the altar between Bethel and Ai.
ما عملش كده إبراهيم وهو يعني متلخبط.
He did not have one foot in the church or one foot with God and one foot in the world.
ما فكرش إنه يحط رجل مع الله و رجل تانية مع العالم.
No, but the altar in your life should testify of these two truths.
لكن المذبح في حياتي لازم يشهد عن حاجتين.
That I should be known as a man of God.
أنا يجب أن أعرف بأني إنسان للرب.
The house of God, Bethel.
بيت الله هو بيت إيه.
And I testify against this world that it is a house of ruins that is coming one day to utter destruction.
وأشهد ضد بيت العالم عاي.
So from Noah, what did we learn? We learned that we must put God first in our life.
من نوح نعرف أن الله أولا, لازم أن نضع الله أولا في حياتنا.
From Abraham we learn the consequence of what happens when you leave the altar.
من إبراهيم نتعلم أي نتائج ترك المذبح في حياتنا.
Now the next person that we read about who built an altar is in Genesis in chapter 26, and this is the son of Abraham, Isaac.
بنرى في أصحاح 26 ابن إبراهيم إسحاق بنى مذبح.
We read about it in verse 25, chapter 26, verse 25. So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord.
نرى في عدد 25 فبنى هناك مذبحا ودعا باسم الرب.
But this is not the first experience of the altar in the life of Isaac.
لكن دي ما كانتش الخبرة الأولى أو المرة الأولى يظهر مذبح في حياة إسحاق.
The first experience of the altar in the life of Isaac that we read about is in Genesis chapter 22.
لكن كانت الخبرة الأولى لإسحاق في بالنسبة للمذبح في تكوين 22.
Let's go to Genesis chapter 2 and then 22. Let me show you this.
لما نرجع لأصحاح 22.
In verse 9 we read this.
نعرف عدد 9.
Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood.
فلما أتي إلى الموضع الذي قال له الله بنى هناك إبراهيم المذبح ورتب الحطب وربط إسحاق ابنه ووضعه على المذبح فوق الحطب.
This was the first experience of Isaac of the altar in his life.
دي كانت أول مرة يذكر أو يرتبط اسم إسحاق بالمذبح.
I want you to notice the difference between Abraham and between Isaac.
أنا أحب أقول لكم الفرق ما بين إبراهيم وبين إسحاق.
Abraham built the altar.
إبراهيم هو اللي بنى المذبح.
Abraham had to lay his son upon the altar.
وإبراهيم خد ابنه حطه على المذبح.
But Isaac was laid. He laid himself upon the altar.
لكن إسحاق وضع نفسه على المذبح.
The difference between the two was this, and both experiences are very important.
الفرق ما بين الاثنين والخبرة في الاثنين مهمين.
A very important. Abraham teaches us how it is that we are to give the very best to God.
إبراهيم بيعلمنا إزاي نقدم أحسن شيء للرب.
Isaac teaches us that my all must be on the altar.
وإسحاق يعلمنا إن كل شيء لازم يكون على المذبح.
There is a song, a hymn in the English.
في أغنية في الترانيم الإنجليزي.
It says, "Is your all on the altar of sacrifice?"
كل ما نملك على المذبح.
Now to be able to understand the difference between the two experiences, one has to come to the New Testament.
لازم نتعلم الفرق ما بين الموضعين.
The Apostle Paul takes up this subject in Romans chapter 12.
في روميا أصحاح 12.
I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Chapter 12, verse 9.
أطلب إليكم أيها الأحباء بنعمة الرب
that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice
أن تقدموا أجسادكم كذبيحة حية
holy acceptable to God which is your reasonable service
مقبولة عند الله عبادتكم العاقلة أو العقلية
that you present not force yourself or someone force you
من غير ضغط أطلب إليكم
it's a willing sacrifice
حاجة بتيجي برغبتي الشخصية
that you present your body as a living sacrifice
نقدم أجسادنا كذبيحة حية
so what does the altar of Isaac teach us
إيه المذبح بتاعت حقيقي علمنا
In order to live
عشان نعيش
You need to die
لازم أموت
In order to live for Christ
عشان أعيش للرب
You need to die to self
لازم أموت عن ذاتي عن نفسي
The Apostle Paul could say in Galatians chapter 2 verse 20
في غلاطيا 2 وعدد 20
I have been crucified with Christ
مع المسيح صلبت
It is no longer I that liveth
فأحيا لا أنا
but Christ lives in me
بل المسيح يحيا فيا
and the life that I now live
فما أحياه الآن في الجسد
I live by faith
أحياه في الإيمان
in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me
إيمان ابن الله الذي أحبني وأسلم نفسه لأجلي
the only way to live the Christian life
الطريقة الوحيدة عشان أعيش حياة المسيحية
is by dying
بإني أموت
to die to self
أموت عن ذاتي
in Romans chapter 6 there is a double truth
في روميا أصحاح 6 في حقيقتين
that when Jesus went to the cross
لما المسيح ذهب إلى الصليب
he not only carried your sins
لم يحمل بس خطايانا
he took you there with him
لكن أخذنا معاه على للصليب
when he died upon the cross
لما مات على الصليب
you also died with him
إحنا متنا معاه على الصليب
and we learned this thousands of years ago through the life of Isaac
ونتعلم الموضوع ده آلاف السنين
Both experiences are important. The experience of Abraham and the experience of Isaac.
الموضوعين مهمين. الموضوع الخاص بإبراهيم والموضوع الخاص بإسحاق.
Abraham teaches us to offer our very best, that which is most precious to God, to lay it upon the altar of God.
إبراهيم بيعلمنا نقدم للرب أغلى ما عندنا. على المذبح.
And Isaac would teach us in order to live for Christ you must die to self.
وإسحاق بيعلمنا عشان أعيش للمسيح لازم أنا أموت.
The very next person in which I want to refer to with regards to the spiritual altar in the believer's life is found in Exodus in chapter 20.
في خروج 20 هنشوف الشخصية اللي أحب أن أتكلم عنها بالنسبة للمذبح الروحي.
This is with regards to Moses in the giving of the law.
ده في بتعلق بموسى وإعطاء الناموس.
There God takes Moses, tells him to come up the mountain.
الله طلب من موسى أن يطلع على الجبل.
He gives him the law.
وإداله الناموس.
He also gives him a pattern in how to build the tabernacle and the furnishings of the tabernacle.
وإداله مثال إزاي يبني خيمة الاجتماع وإزاي يرتبها.
The difference in the altar in which Moses built than everyone else.
الفرق ما بين المذبح اللي بناه موسى عن أي شخص تاني.
Is that this was not a personal altar, but it was a public one. It was for the nation.
ما كانش حاجة شخصية، ما كانش مذبح شخصي، لكن كان للشعب كله.
The second truth that we learned from the altar in which Moses was given direction to build.
الحاجة الثانية اللي تعلمها من الموس من المذبح اللي بناه موسى أو
It's the first time that we read about two altars.
المرة الأولى نتكلم عن مذبحين. أول مرة نقرأ عن مذبحين.
The first altar we read about, its instruction is in Exodus in chapter 27.
المذبح الأولاني في خروج أصحاح 27.
And the second altar, which is behind the veil, we find in Exodus in chapter 30.
والمذبح الثاني اللي هو وراء الحجاب في خروج أصحاح 30.
But the commencement of how to build the altar is found here in Exodus chapter 20, the base of the altar, how it was to be built.
لكن في أصحاح 20 بنشوف إزاي الأساس اللي تبني عليه المذبح.
The first altar, when the tabernacle was erected or built.
المذبح الأولاني لما اتعملت خيمة الاجتماع.
When you walked through that wide gate.
لما ندخل من المدخل.
The very first thing that you saw.
أول شيء بنشوفه.
Was an altar.
المذبح.
It was called a brazen altar.
مذبح النحاس.
It was made out of acacia wood.
معمول من خشب الصن.
That is an incorruptible wood, a hardy wood.
خشب الصن خشب ما بيسويش وجامد.
It speaks of the perfect humanity of the Lord Jesus.
بتتكلم عن الرب يسوع في الجسد.
It was overlaid with brass.
وبتغطى بالنحاس.
Which always in Scripture speaks of judgment.
والنحاس بيتكلم في عن الدينونة.
When an offerer walked in.
لما بيجي الراجل اللي عايز يقدم ذبيحة.
Who was a sinner.
اللي هو خاطي.
The place in which he had to get to, the place in which he could go to alone in the tabernacle.
المكان الوحيد اللي يقدر يدخل له في خيمة الاجتماع.
Was the brazen altar.
هو مذبح النحاس.
And this is a picture of the Lord Jesus at the cross of Calvary.
ودي صورة للرب يسوع في صليب الجلجوسة.
The judgment of God fell upon him.
عدالة الله أو حكم الله نزل عليه.
He who knew no sin became sin for us.
الذي لم يعرف خطية حسب خطية لأجلنا.
So that we might be forgiven of our sins.
علشان إحنا نغفر خطايانا.
However, there was a second altar. And
لكن في كمان مذبح ثاني.
But that second altar was behind the veil.
لكن المذبح الثاني وراء الحجاب.
And the sinner couldn't go there.
والخاطئ مش ممكن يدخل جوه.
The offerer couldn't go there.
ولا اللي جاي يقدم يقدر يدخل جوه.
Only the holy priest.
لكن رئيس الكهنة فقط.
The holy priest would go behind the curtain.
رئيس الكهنة يقدر يدخل وراء الحجاب.
And there was a second altar, but it was different. It looked different.
لكنه شكله مختلف.
This altar was also made out of acacia wood.
معمول برضو من خشب الصمت.
But this time it spoke that he was fully man. It spoke of the Lord Jesus as being fully man.
لكن بتتكلم على الرب يسوع انه انسان كامل.
But it was overlaid with gold.
لكن متغطي بذهب.
Which spoke of the divinity of the Lord Jesus.
وبتتكلم عن سمو الله او الوهية الرب يسوع.
He was fully man.
هو إنسان كامل.
He was fully God.
لكن الله كامل.
And then what did the holy priest do there? He burnt incense.
بيعمل إيه رئيس الكهنة؟ بيقدم بخور.
And that incense spoke of the fragrance of Christ.
ودي بتعلمنا عن رائحة المسيح.
At the cross of Calvary.
في صليب المسيح صليب في جلجسة.
Not only were the demands of God satisfied. Not only were the demands of God satisfied or fulfilled.
ما كانش بس ان الله ارتضى بذبيحة المسيح.
But he shall look upon the travail of his soul and be satisfied.
لكن ينظر إليه ويرتضي.
There was a pleasing effect. There was a pleasing work which emanated from the cross of Calvary.
في رضا كامل نشأ عن طريق صليب الجلجسة.
So what does the altar of Moses teach us?
بعلمنا إيه المذبح بتاع موسى.
That there are two altars.
إن في مذبحين.
That you must first come to the first altar as a sinner.
لازم نيجي للمذبح الأولاني كخاطي.
Something that they did not know in the Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament.
في حاجة ما تعرفتش في العهد القديم اتعرفت في العهد الجديد.
By the work of the cross, the work of redemption.
بعمل عمل الصليب عمل الفداء.
The sinner became a priest.
الخاطي أصبح كاهن.
That's why the Apostle Peter could say in 1 Peter chapter 2, you have been made a holy priesthood.
عشان كده نقرأ في بطرس الثانية أصحاح.
You have been made a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices to your God. So 1 Peter chapter 2.
في بطرس الأولى أصحاح 2 نقرأ عن وصف الإنسان المؤمن أنه أصبح كاهن.
Verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5. You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, verse 3, 5, sorry.
كونوا أنتم أيضا مبنيين كحجارة حية بيتا روحيا كهنوتا مقدسا لتقديم ذبائح حية مقبولة عند الله بيسوع المسيح.
In Revelation in chapter 1 we also read this.
وفي سفر الرؤيا في
That we have been washed with the blood of Jesus. So that we are made into what? Kings and priests. In the Old Testament, only a priest could go behind the veil. In the New Testament, the sinner becomes a priest and can go behind the veil. What about the incense that rises? His function, his work was to serve God. He was to put the incense and it would burn upon the altar of gold.
إيه حكاية البخور أنه يقدم بخور أمام الله فيشتم الله رائحة الرضا.
This speaks of the work of God in your life as long as you attend the altar.
بتكلمنا أن عمل المسيح في حياتنا لما ندخل إلى
As long as you commune with God.
على قد ما نبقى فينا علاقة مع
As long as you have a spiritual altar at home.
لما يكون لنا مذبح في البيت.
As long as you have fellowship with God.
على قد ما يبقى لنا علاقة وشركة مع الله.
That incense.
هذه الرائحة.
The fragrance of Christ.
رائحة المسيح.
Will be seen in your life.
هتظهر في حياتك.
They will no longer see the priest.
مش هنشوف مرة ثانية الكاهن.
Behind the veil, when he burnt that incense, the whole area was filled up with incense.
مش هنشوف الكاهن لأن لما بيدخل يحط البخور.
It was a sealed compartment.
هيملأ المكان كله ما حدش هيشوف.
So when God looked down,
الله لما ينظر من.
What did he see?
هشوف إيه؟
He saw the fragrance of Christ, the incense.
مش هشوف غير البخور برائحة المسيح.
Is the altar important?
هل المذبح مهم?
Can I neglect the spiritual altar in my life?
هل ممكن أهمل المذبح الروح في حياتي?
Absolutely not.
طبعا لا.
If you want people to see Christ in your life,
لو أنت عايز الناس تشوف المسيح في حياتك,
you need to have a spiritual altar.
لازم يكون لي مذبح روحي.
And this brings us, there are a number of other altars, but this brings us to the altar which is found in the New Testament. If we can just quickly turn our Bibles to the Gospel of Mark.
ده خلينا نشوف المذبح اللي ذكر في العهد الجديد وهنشوف
إنجيل مرقس. So the first altar, the altar of Noah, what does it teach us? Put God first.
فمذبح نوح الله يكون أولا.
The second altar, the altar of Abraham, what does it teach us?
المذبح بتاع إبراهيم بيعلمنا إيه؟
The consequence of leaving a spiritual altar.
النتائج الترك المذبح الروحي.
The third altar, the altar of Isaac, what does it teach us?
المذبح اللي شفناه مع إسحاق.
In order to live for Christ, I must die to self.
عشان أعيش للرب لازم أنا أموت أولا.
The fourth altar, the altar of Moses, what does it teach us?
المذبح اللي شفناه مع موسى.
If I spend time in front of the golden altar, then the fragrance of Christ is seen in me.
لما أقضي وقت قدام المذبح الذهبي رائحة المسيح هتملأ حياتي.
When we get to the Gospel of Mark in chapter 15, we read here from verse 16.
لما نروح لإنجيل مرقس أصحاح 15 وعدد 16.
We read about the altar of God in the New Testament.
نقرأ عن المذبح. مذبح الله في العهد الجديد.
Then the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole garrison, and they clothed him with purple, and they twisted a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Verse 19. Then they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him, and bowing the knee, they worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him.
هنقرأ من عدد 16. فمضى به العسكر إلى داخل الدار التي هي دار الولاية وجمعوا كل الكتيبة ولبسوه أرجوانا وضفروا كلينا من شوك ووضعوه عليه وابتدأوا يسلمون عليه قائلين السلام يا ملك اليهود. وكانوا يضربونه على رأسه بقصبة ويبصقون عليه ومن ثم يسجدون له جاثين على ركبهم. وبعدما استهزأوا به نزعوا عنه الأرجوان وألبسوه ثيابه ثم خرجوا به ليصلبوه.
The altar of the New Testament is the cross of Calvary.
مذبح في العهد الجديد هو صليب الجلجسة.
That was the altar of God.
ده مذبح الله.
And the offering that was laid upon this altar
والتقدمة التي وضعت على هذا المذبح
was not an animal, not a creature.
ما كانتش حيوان, ما كانتش أي خليقة أخرى.
It was a real man.
لكن كان شخص حقيقي.
This altar is the greatest of all altars.
ده أعظم من أي مذبح عرينا عنه.
This altar overshadows every other altar.
ده بيغطي أي مذبح تاني شفناه.
Because every other altar points forward to this altar.
لأن كل مذبح احنا قرينا عنه بيشير إلى هذا المذبح.
This is the only altar.
هذا المذبح الوحيد.
In all the scriptures.
في كل الكتاب.
Which shows us how much God loves us.
اللي بتورينا قديه الله بيحبنا.
In the Old Testament.
في العهد القديم.
We could not see the love of God in that altar.
ما كناش بنشوف محبة الله في المذبح.
How could I see the love of God when I brought my animal and it was slain and offered upon that altar?
أشوف إزاي محبة الله ليا وأنا بجيب حيوان وبيذبح قدامه ويتحط على المذبح.
It was my animal.
كان الحيوان بتاعي أنا.
Which God had given me, yes.
والله ادهوني صحيح.
And I had to give it up, that which was precious and of value to me, I had to put it upon the altar of God.
هو طبعا غالي عليا لكن أنا اللي بحطه على المذبح.
For the Jew, he always asked, but what does this cost God?
ممكن اليهودي يسأل ده كلف الله إيه؟
How can I see the love of God in this?
أنا أشوف إزاي محبة الله في الموضوع دوت.
The only time in which we can see the love of God upon the altar of God is we cannot see it without the fulfillment of the New Testament.
ما نقدرش نشوف محبة الله اللي أظهرت إلا كاملة إلا في العهد الجديد.
It was upon this altar.
في هذا المذبح.
Which God not only became the offerer, but the offering itself.
مش الله بس كان اللي هو بيقدم لكن هو اللي صار الذبيحة نفسه.
He gave up that which is priceless.
هو اللي قدم هذا الأمر اللي هو
ملوش. He gave up the value.
أعلن أي قيمة.
He gave up the value of heaven, which was Christ Himself.
جاب أعلى حاجة وأغلى حاجة المسيح نفسه.
At greatest cost and expense to Himself.
أغلى تكلفة اتكلفها الله لنفسه.
And he placed him on his very own altar, the cross of Calvary.
ووضعه على المذبح بتاعه مذبح الجلجسة.
Christian, if you ever doubt that God loves you.
المسيحي إذا شك في محبة الله.
If you ever think maybe God doesn't love me personally.
ولو فكرنا إن الله ما بيحبنيش أنا شخصيا.
Perhaps you could not see the love of God in every other altar before it.
أنا ما أقدرش أشوف محبة الله في كل المذابح الأولانية.
But you can most certainly and clearly see it in this altar.
لكن في هذا المذبح اللي في العهد الجديد. قال لازم اشوف محبه الله ليا.
In Revelation chapter 13.
في الرؤيا اصحاح 13.
Verse 8 we read this.
في عدد 8.
The lamb that was slain from the creation of the world.
الحمل المذبوح من بدء الخليقه.
The cross of Christ was not an afterthought in God's mind.
الصليب المسيح ما كانش حاجة جديدة عليه.
When God looks upon the crucifixion,
لما الله فكر في الصليب,
it spans the ends of time.
لكنه ممتد في مدى العصور.
It stretches beyond eternity.
يمتد حتى بعد الأبدية.
The lamb that was slain from the creation or the foundation of the world.
الحمل المذبوح منذ تأسيس العالم.
This altar
على هذا المذبح
overshadows every other altar. هذا المذبح It's an eternal altar.
هذا المذبح يغطي كل المذابح الأخرى.
And the difference between this altar and every other altar.
والفرق ما بين هذا المذبح والمذابح الأخرى.
Just quickly, please turn to Leviticus in chapter 6.
خلينا نشوف في لوينا 6.
And verse 12 we read there, and the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it, it shall not be put out.
والنار على المذبح تتقد عليه لا تطفئ.
The altar in the Old Testament, the fire was never extinguished.
في العهد القديم على المذبح النار لا تطفئ.
But in the New Testament,
لكن في العهد الجديد,
that fire was extinguished.
النار قد أطفئت.
There was something that satisfied the demands of God.
كان في حاجة أرضت مطالب الله, غطت مطالب الله.
In the Old Testament,
في العهد القديم,
animal after animal was brought.
حيوان بعد حيوان بيجاء.
Blood after blood was spilt.
ودم بعد دم بيسفك.
In the New Testament,
لكن في العهد الجديد,
it wasn't an animal.
ما كانش حيوان.
It was a man, a real man.
لكن كان إنسان حقيقي.
And his blood was shed.
قدم دمه, سفك دمه.
Because he loved you and he loved me.
لأنه أحبك وأحبني.
And so in this final altar, what is it that we can learn from it?
من المذبح الأخير, إيه اللي ممكن نتعلمه؟
How much God loves us.
كيف الله أحبنا.
So just very quickly, those altars, I'll go through them again.
أمر بسرعة على المذابح اللي ذكرناهم.
The first altar, the altar of Noah, we learn put God first.
مذبح الأول مذبح نوح, حط الله أولا.
The second altar, the altar of Abraham.
المذبح الثاني مذبح إبراهيم.
We learn this.
وتعلمنا هذا.
Never to leave the altar of God, or else there's going to be a consequence.
ما تسيبش أبدا مذبح الله وإلا في نتائج.
The third altar, the altar of Isaac.
المذبح الثالث مذبح إسحاق.
In order to live for Christ, you must die to self.
عشان أعيش للمسيح لازم أنا نفسي أموت.
And the fourth altar, the altar of Moses.
والمذبح الرابع مذبح موسى.
We learn this: the more I spend time at the golden altar.
تعلمنا إن على قد ما أقضي وقت قدام المذبح الذهبي.
People will see the fragrance of Christ in my life.
الناس هشوف رائحة المسيح في حياتي.
And the last altar that we spoke about.
والآخر مذبح تكلمنا عنه.
Which every other altar points to.
اللي بتشير إلى كل المذابح اللي ذكرناها الأربعة الأولى.
For the first time in history.
في أول مرة في التاريخ.
We see how much God really loves us.
نرى إزاي قديه الله أحبنا.
Thank you. God bless you.
رب يشفيك.